Welcome to Blind Submissions, where DIY bands submit songs for us to listen to and react to blind. Every week, we'll bring a guest from the underground music, arts, or entertainment scene to help you sort through mountains of new music. We go in blind, so you don't have to. Blind Submissions.
Blind Submissions!
Hey everybody, welcome to today's episode of An Unacceptable Level of Mouth Noise. Also known as...
Gross.
Blind.
Otherwise known as Blind Submissions.
A little peek behind the scenes, what we were just doing before we hit the record button.
Making mouth noise.
Making mouth noises.
You gotta get it all out.
Yeah, how the hell is everybody doing today?
I'm doing much better than I was last time.
Yeah?
Yeah, I've got the energy. I'm bringing it
today.
Oh,
good. Yeah,
you better look out.
You're sad boy with an OI. Not really.
No. No, I'm feeling good. I think this is going to be a great episode.
Did you sleep good?
I slept well.
Real-time sleep score check. Not good. Oh, not good at all.
This is not good.
I'm not going to even say mine out loud.
Oh, I don't even know where mine is.
Oh.
I don't know. I think I have to go to my phone to see it.
Oh,
Jeez,
maybe
that's
it's
a bummer.
That piece of shit Fitbit you're wearing.
No, it's not.
You don't work there anymore.
I know. I still like them, though.
Get with the Garmin, baby.
Yeah, actually, I might do that. Yeah, yeah, it doesn't have it. Okay, hi.
Sidetrack number one. How many will we have today?
Probably a lot.
Mouth noises, sleep scores.
Yeah.
What did we watch last night?
Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Yeah. Did we not watch that?
We did. Episode 3. Holy shit. Welcome to being 10 years old again.
Yeah, right?
At the movie theater watching Empire Strikes
exactly.
Back.
Exactly. Oh, this is what happened after. Yeah.
Oh, fuck. That was intense.
So for anybody that doesn't know, I think this is the space between Jedi and... No, wait. This is pre-Jedi.
No, this is pre-Jedi.
This is the space between the real third movie and...
Yes.
And Star Wars.
Yes.
Right. Okay. Yes.
Between when Anakin is burnt to a crisp and has both arms and legs cut off.
Yes.
And left to die on Mustafar.
Right.
10 years after.
That's right.
And yes. Holy shit.
Luke and Leia are little...
Making my dreams come...
It's really good.
My little Star Wars dreams come
Your
true.
Your little Star Wars dreams.
Oh, my God.
It is really good. That's
for
sure.
So good.
Yeah, definitely. I saw some meme today where some lady was pissing off her husband because she kept calling it Star Wars.
Oh God.
Are you watching the Star Wars?
The Star Wars.
Shut up.
Does it matter that door is a little open? Are we going to get invaded?
I don't think we'll get
invaded by cat. Okay.
No, I think we'll be fine.
No kitty invasions.
No kitties in the recording studio.
Okay. The very professional recording studio. All right, well, we have a very special guest today.
Who is it?
Our special guest today is none other than Andrew Bansal.
Ooh.
Who is Andrew Bansal, you may ask?
Who is Andrew Bansal?
Oh, Andrew Bansal runs the Metal Assault blog, runs Metal Assault Records with bands like Old Blood and Solar Haze and a fucking fuck ton more.
And a fuck ton more.
Andrew is a promoter who hosted us. Kook in LA a couple of years ago. He is a tour manager who just came off of doing merch for the Bay Area Strikes Back Thrash tour with Exodus and Testament, and I forget there were three bands.
Yeah.
Oh, he'll tell us all about it.
Death Angel?
Probably. I think that's what it was. So yeah, I mean this guy, I mean you talk about a multitasker. Talk about a guy wearing a bunch of hats.
Doing it all.
Yeah, doing it all.
We've never talked about that on the show before.
No, we haven't.
Really
at all.
Looking forward to getting into that.
new ground for us.
new ground for us.
New ground for us. Well, anyways, without further ado, Andrew Bansal. And the inevitable Zoom lag. And there he is. Oh, man, you're fast. You must have good internet.
Yoo-hoo!
All right. What's up, guys?
Hey, how you doing? Yeah, so this is our 83rd episode.
83.
So I'm starting to get a good feeling for how long it takes from when I hit admit into room until you actually appear on screen and can be seen and heard, and you're quick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Congratulations on your fast internet.
You have that good good Los Angeles internet.
Yeah, yeah. Sitting close to the source. Actually, you know, I think I'm pretty sure we have like an extension in our house, like for the router, you know, so that helps. Yeah.
Oh, very good. Yeah. We always advise get close to your router if you can, or plug into it with the cable, even better.
Directly into it.
Yeah. Yep.
So immediately over your shoulder, I see show posters. What do we got there? Old blood.
Yeah. A lot of old blood posters from, you know, gigs around the country, and some of my own event posters from the local and regional stuff that I've done, you know, like, yeah, I like to, do all that. Plus there's also a newspaper clipping of Old Blood when they got featured in a paper in Colorado. We did like a Halloween show last year in Colorado Springs, so they did like a preview article for that. So yeah, stuff like that I like to, you know, put on the wall to look at every now and then, you know,
to remind you. Yeah, so one thing that comes up on the show all the time is the people who are deep in this underground scene wear lots of hats, and I think I'm not sure we've had someone who wears as many hats as you.
Yeah,
you just came off of running merch on the Bay Area Strikes Back tour, so you've actually been on the road, and I know you've been on the road more than once, like mid pandemic and I guess we're post, not really, but sort of post.
Quote unquote post. Yeah, I mean,
yeah.
Well, yeah, it's, I mean, at least in terms of like our industry, it is kind of post-pandemic because the tours are happening like they used to pre-pandemic. So that's great because, you know, from whether as a label or as a touring merchandiser, like that's awesome that bands are touring, you know, that's the best case for all of us, you know? So yeah, I did that Exodus tour. I was hired by Exodus to run their merch for the tour they just finished. So that was quite an experience. And prior to that, I was touring with Old Blood because they did a second leg of their U.S. tour to promote Acid Doom, their latest album. So I've been on tour for what, like three months out of the whole year so far. So yeah, you know,
three months out of six.
Yeah,
I mean, not even six. 3 months out of five.
Yeah. And Old Blood like went coast to coast, right? They hit the other side of the country.
Yeah. After a long time, I mean, they did some East Coast stuff back when they played the Maryland Doomfest in 2017, but since then, this was the first time hitting those parts and a lot of the other parts for the first time ever. So yeah, that was like 3.5 weeks, but we went all the way to the East Coast and back, you know. So yeah.
Wow.
And both tours, no stoppages because people tested positive on the road, like everything just went smoothly without issue, at least pandemic related issues.
Yeah, like both tours were they went on smoothly in that sense. I mean, I guess we wouldn't really know because we didn't really test, like, to be honest, you know, like we were not tested, like,
but so, no one got sick.
I mean, in terms of like generally getting sick, like with just
tour sickness,
that did happen, like on both tours. Just, you know, being in close proximity with not just our tour mates, but interacting with all kinds of people. I mean, I think it's just, plus changing weathers like everywhere, like from one city to the next, I think it's bound to happen. Plus the other thing with that is, for me, I mean, I used to tour quite a lot pre-pandemic, like, you know, I worked for bands like Warbringer and Night Demon and Huntress and stuff like that, like going all over the country. But I'm now this year I was coming back into the full-on touring mode, so I think it takes a little bit of getting used to, like, to adjust to all those changes on the road and keep yourself healthy, you know. But I think I did better personally on the Exodus tour than the Old Blood tour in terms of the health aspect of it, you know, a lot of oranges and a lot of multivitamins and all that type of stuff.
You pointed out something interesting that probably people don't think about, which is the merch person on the road probably comes into contact with more people than anyone else.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I made a post about it actually, I think midway through my tour, because it was getting to that point where, you know, I'm like, okay, well, I need to stay healthy for the sake of myself, my tour mates, and for the sake of the whole tour to go ahead. But yeah, man, I mean, especially on a tour like this, like the Bay Strikes Back tour, which was playing to an average of about over 1,000 people every day. They were sold out shows everywhere. And I was interacting with that many people, you know, so
yeah.
That's a lot of exposure, man. You know,
yeah,
that's
a ton.
Yeah, for sure.
It's a lot. Well,
and obviously the merch person is not going to travel separately. It's just still going to travel with the band. So, you know, more than anything, it's important for the merch person to stay healthy, because everybody else can kind of stay in their bubble, quote unquote,
right.
But not me, you know.
So, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You're like your protection for the band, so the band doesn't have to go out there and
totally.
Do their own merch.
Yeah, glad you came back. Yeah. Glad you came back healthy.
Yeah, really.
Yeah.
How many stops was that tour?
This tour, the Bass Rocks Back tour was 34 shows in 47 days. So actually, more days off than I'm used to. But I mean, when you're at that level, I guess you have that luxury. You know?
Yeah. In a big sweet tour bus,
we had our Exodus had their own tour bus for the band and crew. Yeah, I had a bunk for myself. So yeah, that was sweet. You know, it's like your own coffin, but you're alive. So it's cool.
Exactly. You're protected from the elements. You're warm
with a power outlet and an AC vent.
Yeah, exactly.
And
there you go.
Your own bedding and all that. So yeah, it's perfect.
Almost every day, I'm happy to be a larger than average person. The one time it's not fun is when you have to be in like an RV or like
a tour bus
style bed where I just don't. They're just not made for people my size.
Yeah, but you know, you'd be surprised though. I mean, people will get used to it, I guess.
Oh yeah.
I mean. Yeah, it's still your personal space, I guess. So,
I'm a baby. I like my big bed. I like my big, soft, comfortable bed.
It's your hybrid mattress.
So I've told a story a few times about nearly dying on stage, and this is the man whose show I was playing when that happened.
Oh.
You probably don't even know this
story.
Would
you like me to repeat the story for everybody who hasn't heard it?
So we were playing in downtown L.A., a fun show with Dress the
Dead. Five-star bar.
Yeah, five-star with Dress the Dead,
right.
With Craig from Forbidden and Kayla from Witch Mountain, and so we're in, you know, mid set. Troy just shoves me in the back out of nowhere, and I go flying forward, and I know I'm gonna hit the monitor and then like fall off the stage and face plant. So at the very last second, I just jumped over the monitor and landed on the floor in front of the stage. But I swear my toe missed catching on the monitor by like a half an inch, and if it had caught, I would have just like face planted. Who knows what would have happened?
Wouldn't be here today.
Broken neck.
Be talking to
definitely
you.
A busted up face. But that was I was.
I
glad
don't
I
think
still...
I saw any of that really. Like,
no, just
you guys smoked out the whole room, so I didn't see it.
If you had seen it, you might have just thought like, "Wow, that guy's cool. He likes to jump off stage."
Yeah.
Like no, I was trying to save my life.
Just so smooth.
Wow.
So smooth.
Yeah,
that was a while ago. That was when early 2019, I think it was.
Yeah, that was on our way back from South by Southwest. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Solar Haze played that too, I think. And that
Solar
was
Haze and those guys from the desert.
Yeah.
Used to be UNITA.
Oh, the House of Broken Promises.
House of Broken Promises. That's what it was. Yeah.
Yeah.
Had real desert energy. Real like.
Yeah.
I'm out on my own in the desert. Don't fuck with me, kind of energy.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, like desert biker, stoner rock type.
Totally.
Like
yeah, we played with another band from that crew, and at some point, and had the exact same kind of vibe to them. That's where, and honestly, that's where Billy Anderson's from. Billy grew up in 29
right.
Palms, so he has a different like crazy energy than those guys. Not the tough biker guy.
Yeah. More of a recluse, I guess, you know. Yeah.
A little bit, yeah. Home in the studio, that's where Billy is. So talk to me a little bit about the label. How has running the label been going during the pandemic, and how are you exiting?
Yeah, well, I mean, so pre-pandemic, the label was, it existed. I mean, I started in 2018 officially, and there was only like, basically two or three bands like pre-pandemic. Old Blood and Solar Haze were one of the two of the first signings, you know, that are still on the label. But well, the pandemic hit, all of a sudden it was just like a huge shock to my system, because the label was like not the center focus at that time. It was more about my event promotions, as you know, you took part in one of the events too, so you know very well. And I was still like touring a lot, not a lot, but like depending on who asked and all that stuff. I was out on tour too, but then all that, those two things completely stopped because there was no live music. So I figured that the only thing I could really do was to focus more on the label side of things and release music and merch to sell online. And then the Bandcamp Friday started, and that was like a big like lifesaver in that sense. So I really utilized that to the max and started doing, signing more bands, putting out new releases, and really expanded the roster quite a lot in the 2 years, basically like from 2020 up till now. But you know, like, and then last year, like shows started happening again. So then it was time to, you know, start to ask the bands to start touring and find out what they're planning to do. And now it's like, I mean, it's just, you know, things have just evolved and changed constantly with like the pandemic and now post pandemic. So now I've been on tour a lot this year. So, and there's more touring for me that's already confirmed with Exodus, like going out again in the fall on the same Bass Strikes Back second leg tour. So right now I'm actually like taking a moment to see like what, how I need to run the label, especially if I'm not going to be in town, you know what I mean? It was designed as a one man label, but if that one man is not around, then, you know, I have to figure stuff out. Yeah, I'm trying to reassess some things, to keep the label going, but maybe in a different, style or, you know, maybe even like a smaller roster going forward. Like, so at least I can, it's not too much to handle, you know what I mean? So that's where I'm at right now. But yeah, like there's still a lot of good things coming forward, coming up with the label, with like new signings and new releases on the horizon, you know? So that's where I'm at with the label side of things.
When you're doing stuff on your own, you got to kind of like assess what's good for me. When you sign bands, you have to like make sure you have the energy and the time to put in, you know, to invest into them. Cause they put, you know, sometimes they have choices and if they choose you, then you don't want to let them down. Todd from Ripple and Buddy from Glory or Death both said those Bandcamp Fridays like really propped them up during the pandemic. Todd said it's like unbelievable the volume of orders that Ripple would get on those Bandcamp Fridays. I know that's a different scale than what we're used to, but still it made me feel good to see that like one simple charitable decision by one company just like saved a whole bunch of people from ruin.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, for real.
It's amazing.
For real.
Yeah. And that those are coming back in September. So I think like my big like product related announcements will probably follow that, like be tied in with that too. And you know, until then, I mean, I'll put out more stuff too, but you know, the Bandcamp Fridays are like, those are definitely like a big factor. And how the label is announcing new releases and stuff, you know.
Yeah, an extra 10% on one day actually makes a pretty big difference.
Completely. Well, let's jump in the Wayback Machine.
Oh, here we go.
Even pre-label, like how did you even get into the music industry?
Yeah, what was your entry into heavy music?
Did you grow up around music? Like,
I grew up around music, yes, not around heavy music per se. Mm-hmm. You know, grew up in India, so.
Part?
I mean, I grew up in a small town, but you know, northern, a little north of central. Lived a small town life. But my parents were big into music. So there was always music playing in the house, you know, in that sense. And then like, as I grew a little bit older, like, into teenage years, I started to kind of find my own tastes with like started to get introduced to like Western music. Basically, it wasn't really wasn't like metal, but it was English at least, you know. So from there, you know, like started discovering rock and then I discovered Iron Maiden, and that was it, you know.
That was it.
That was the tipping point.
Yep.
Yeah. So that was like, I guess freshman year of college was when I discovered them and. Mm. They're the first band that kind of really turned me on to like heavy metal and that's still my favorite band, you know. So that's how I like started getting into heavy metal. Number of the Beast, that was the first album that I listened to from them. Still my favorite, like for that reason, really, you know.
So good.
Yeah, and then like moved here in 2007. So obviously like had the opportunity to go to a lot more shows here in LA, like everybody tours here. So started going to shows like more frequently, you know, and I had a habit of like documenting shows with like review write-ups and stuff like that. So that really got me into like the industry, so to speak. And I wrote for this other blog for a while, and then started my own, like Metal Assault was started in 2010.
Gotcha.
So yeah, that's how everything began, you know. So initially that was it. Like it was a heavy metal blog, you know, for reviews and interviews and all that type of stuff, you know. So yeah.
So what was the trigger to get you to move out to the States from India? Was it chase music, or was there something else?
No, I mean that just happened and took over. But no, I came here to do my master's at USC, which I did. So, you know, and after that, like, you know, I was in that world for a year or two, and then it wasn't really my thing. So, you know, Metal Assault, I mean, you know, I did my master's in computer science. So,
okay.
You know, the tech world or whatever you call it. So, yeah, you know, it wasn't really the life I wanted to lead into. Like if I had grown up differently, I wouldn't have taken on that as a major, you know? Like it wasn't my passion, or it wasn't like something I wanted to really do, like from the bottom of my heart, you know? So yeah. And that by that point, like Metal Assault had kind of garnered its own audience. So I wanted to just do that, you know? So that's the path I decided to take, you know?
I mean, so I spent my first year of college in LA, and, you know, I lived in a relatively large town in the Bay Area. I mean, I grew up in San Jose. To me, even then, this is like, you know, 1991, 92, LA was kind of a shock to the system. It's a place unlike anything else. And it took me a year to just figure out where the stuff I wanted to see was. I mean, it's such a like physically enormous town. It takes so long to get from anywhere to anywhere. You have to drive.
Yeah.
And it can be very like insular. I mean, this is pre-internet, so it was hard to figure out what to do. What kind of a shock was it to like find your people and find the scene and navigate LA coming from a small town in India? And that's fascinating to me.
Yeah, I mean, I guess like for me, I was not one of those Indian people that only try to find other Indian people. You know, I rather like mix and blend with the environment I'm actually in, you know.
Yeah.
So that's what I more gravitated more towards, like try to talk to the locals and, you know, like people here, instead of finding other Indian people. I mean, I knew them too, because actually quite a few of my classmates from back in India moved to the same college that I went to here, you know.
Yeah.
But I was really talking to them all that much. I'm like, I already know them. So, yeah, I mean, for me, it was actually like easier than what it would be for most other people, especially moving out here by myself with having no family or anybody here. I don't have anybody here, like no relatives, no family, nothing. So, yeah, I mean, in that sense, like because of my basic nature of like trying to socialize and blend, like it was, I didn't find it as big of a shock. Like to me, I actually moved back to India in 2012, because by that time it was kind of like one of those things where those pressures on me from back home to start a real life or, you know, whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
That was a much bigger shock to me going back there than like moving here in the first place, you know?
Gotcha.
Yeah. I mean, and maybe the internet has a lot to do with it, because it like, you had to see flyers and like flip through the LA Weekly to figure like see where shows were. And it was a lot harder to like, it seriously took me a long time to figure out where the clubs were that I wanted to go see music at and to kind of.
That's because you're old.
Because I'm old.
I think it's
because it was pre-internet. God, it would be, fuck, I wish I would have, it'd be so much easier now. That's weird. So it was more like, and when did you move back?
Move back to LA?
Yeah, to LA.
2013.
So okay. A year. So you were.
It didn't last long. Yeah, back there. So, like, basically, as soon as I moved back there, I was already plotting my move, you know,
gotcha.
Back to the US. So, yeah, I mean, yeah, since then I've been here. So, yeah.
So we take submissions from anyone on this show. And one of the things we've gotten is a lot of submissions from metal bands in India. Do you follow the kind of what's happening in India in metal at all?
Yeah, I mean, I have two Indian bands on the label roster, a band called Devar C, which is an amazing, like, sonar doom band.
We listened to them.
Yeah.
They were a submission
somehow.
Yeah, and then the drone project, which is definitely the only drone type project that India has ever had. It's called Mega Drone, which is actually the singer from Bay Mercy is his side project. So those two are like actively on the label. But aside from that, I mean, there's a band called Kryptos, which is, it's been a very well established band from over there. And again, like the singer of Bay Mercy is the bass player in Kryptos. So it's kind of like,
it's a small community
of bands from Bangalore specifically, but there's bands all over the country too. And like Kryptos is signed to AFM Records, so they've done a lot of touring in Europe and they're pretty well established. They're more along like that old school heavy metal, thrash metal vibe, you know.
Gotcha.
Like Iron Maiden style. Like they opened for Maiden back in India too. Yeah, there's definitely like a scene, you know. I think some bands, like, to me, or at least like when I moved back there in 2012, I felt that a lot of them were just trying to copy what their idols were doing. Like, you know, they were like straight up like sounding like Pantera or Lamb of God or Slayer or whatever it may be, you know. But I think there's also like some bands that are trying to do their own thing and, you know, they're a little bit more original. So those are the bands I try to gravitate towards, you know. So, yeah.
Yeah.
But you said you got a lot of submissions.
Yeah, we have. Let's see. Yeah. I can't remember
all of them, but yeah. I mean, there was like an extreme death metal band from Goa, and I was like, wait a second. I thought was all psytrance. Like, wait a second.
Yeah, I'm trying to look up. We listened to a band called Mocaine.
That I don't know about.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, it's probably, you know, it's like most places that were, you know, colonized by English speaking countries, like we export culture.
Yeah.
It's not surprising that Iron Maiden is the first thing that you heard, you know.
Yeah.
If you think about the history of India and England but you know, there in the early days of heavy metal here, people were copying their idols too, and it was a while before people started developing distinct styles that blended. And there's so much, like, I've sort of as a side project studied Indian music theory a little bit. It's so rich, and there's so much opportunity to do completely new things if you were to blend traditional Indian music and music theory with you know, and it's such, I mean, heavy metal originally comes out of these like classical music nerds
exactly.
a little, you know, there's a little bit of a, like there's the Black Sabbath world, which was the blues influenced, but then there's very much like a rich tradition of classical composition and heavy metal. So man, the first band that really nails like Indian classical composition and heavy metal, I'm going to be all in for. And now you got bands like King Gizzard playing microtonal. So we have people now getting used to hearing those quarter steps and the things that sound out of tune about music from other parts of the world. So I think there's a like it's ripe to explode at some point here.
Yeah, I think actually as a kid I played keyboards and I went to like summer camp where like, you know, music was one of the things that I took up. So there's this instrument which it's funny, I've mentioned this to many people. But nobody knows about it here. It's called the harmonium.
Yep.
It's basically a keyboard, but it's it's first of all, it's like a very heavy and cumbersome instrument. You know, you have to sit it on the floor and then you have to sit down or kneel down to play it, on the floor. And it's like a very heavy sound though. I mean, it surprises me that people in bands in heavy metal haven't used that sound yet. You know, maybe I'll do it. Who knows?
Yeah.
Well, that was
because I was also trying to think about like getting back into like playing keyboards again. And I've been listening to a lot of like synth based music lately, so I've been kind of feeling that itch again, you know. So who
it's knows? Funny the song the theme song for Napoleon Dynamite is actually called Music for a Found Harmonium.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. I'm gonna just do the whole thing.
You're gonna do the whole
thing.
Well, and I was gonna ask, like, that's one of the hats that we don't know about is, did you ever play? And you know, what did you play? And how deep in did you get? I'm all for you starting a harmonium-based heavy metal project. Please do. The world needs
some tabla beats in there, and
I mean, as a kid, I played the synthesizer, I played the harmonium, and it was just like a hobby type thing. It wasn't meant to like be pursued in any serious way. Like my parents were like, my upbringing was very good in that sense. They wanted their kids to be like, you know, just multi-skilled and you know, have extracurricular activities outside of being a bookworm at school, you know. So I'm glad that they brought me up in that way. So you know, but yeah, like I never really pursued it after that, but I don't know, lately I've been, like I said, getting the urge, so who knows. I mean, find me a harmonium. I don't know where I would find one here. Like
I'm on the internet right now looking at them.
They're going to buy a harmonium.
They're very much.
Yeah, like you have to play with one hand and like you have to do the thing with the other hand. Like the.
Yeah.
Like cool. I don't know what to call it. Like a.
It's called a pump organ.
Yeah, so exactly. Yeah.
So it's kind of like. It's kind of like a.
Accordion.
Like an accordion, essentially. It's like an accordion or a bagpipe where you have to supply this constant source of air and then use the keys to manipulate the pitch.
Yeah, although you can't like strap it on. It's way too heavy for that.
Yeah. All right. Let's see where we can buy a harmonium. Last week I bought a pedal.
Yeah, you did.
Spontaneously.
Did you get that yet?
So that there was signature required, and we were here, so I couldn't sign for it and get it.
Sheesh.
All right. Where can we buy a harmonium? Shopping.
But it's like a purely like analog sound, though. So that's the only thing with that. It needs to have a headphone jack. Otherwise, I'd get kicked out of my apartment.
Okay. Yeah. Seriously.
So what you need to do is hook up with Sasha from Dunnable and have him design, get a harmonium and then have him design like some pickups or something, like a setup so that you can have an electric harmonium. Oh, they're all over the place on Etsy. I got a couple here, $157, $199 vintage folding harmonium.
Wow.
All right. I think we have a plan now.
But I mean, I don't know, like if that'll like lead into like an actual project or if I would ever like be able to write anything, but who knows, you know. I mean, I'll start playing and see what happens, you know.
There you go.
And not necessarily just the harmonium, but like a general keyboard too.
Any kind of keyboard. I never learned to play or played piano, but I got myself a Moog sub 25 right before the pandemic started. And as a bass player, I've always been enamored with like the Moog Taurus, like the bass foot pedals that Geddy Lee used in Rush. And I always thought that was such a cool complement to bass. So like, this is a very bass centric synth, one note, you know, it's one note, it's monophonic. So you can only play one note at a time. It like makes sense to me as a bass player. But I don't play it like a person who knows how to play a keyboard. I just play bass lines and make weird noises. I like to make weird noises. So that's, synth is perfect for that. Like a drone project using a harmonium. I think there's probably some legs there.
There you go.
Definitely. Yeah. I think I've already come up with a name for a potential, if I ever were to do a project, but I'm not going to say it.
Oh, don't say it out loud. Keep it to yourself.
Yeah. But it's perfect. But
just create the Bandcamp page first, and then you've got the copyright.
No. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah.
What is that?
I don't know. Somebody outside.
Get down. Sorry. No.
All right. Well, should we listen to some tunes?
Sure.
I pulled a bunch this week. So
did you?
I did. Yes.
Oh, why'd you pull so many?
Just because I felt like
just
it.
Just kidding.
fucking asshole.
Let's do it.
Well, there was one we didn't listen to on a previous episode that I felt bad about. So I was going to start there. That was Slow Torch. They were the one that was not selected when we were on with somebody and we gave them two choices. And I think Todd picked Shadows Taller Than Souls.
Yes.
Yeah. Yep. So let's start with
Slow Torch.
Let's start with Slow Torch.
All right.
All right. So I'm going to share my screen here so you can see. We almost exclusively try to use Bandcamp for this. Just because then people go to the Bandcamp pages and order shit. And so this is the band, Slow Torch, and the album is called The Machine Has Failed. And there's like a crumbling, looks like Ready Player One, kind of like a crumbling high-rise apartment block, and then people in a rowboat. And then there's some sort of...
Is there some sort of a beast?
There's a tentacle beast.
Tentacle beast.
Oh, they're nakey. Oh, no, she has a bikini on. Okay. We have sort of a no...
The men look naked, though.
No body exploitation covers rule here.
So, yeah.
Ooh, from Italy. All right.
Nice.
Okay, now I'm all in now.
Ooh.
All right. There's the band. All right. So the song is The Machine Has Failed.
Okay.
I don't disagree, Slow Torch. I don't... I do not disagree. Voice is totally reminding me someone, and I cannot pull it. Who does he sound like?
Ooh, I don't know, but I liked it.
Yeah,
yeah. I was actually gonna say I like the vocal style. That's cool.
Andrew,
a little singing. Bit like Mastodon, Mastodon, like the Sword, stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean, like
their bio that they're it's like Clutch meets Black Sabbath meets COC, but I don't think I hear any of that necessarily. Yeah,
no.
I don't actually. Yeah.
But that's the funny thing. Like bands try to describe themselves and it can be interpreted totally differently from that, you know?
Totally. Yeah. We talk about that a lot. I love reading these paragraphs and go like, do they know what they sound like?
Yeah.
Or am I hearing what they think they're hearing?
You're right. Because definitely there.
There's a guy.
It sounds very
like,
similar.
In 20 minutes, I'll think of it. So I'm not going to burn too many cycles on it right now. No, that was good.
And it
shared the stage with Orange Goblin, Mondo Generator, Karma to Burn, Fatso Jetson, Volbeat, and others. That all makes sense.
Karma to Burn for sure.
Yeah.
I want to hear more.
You do?
Yeah.
All right. Let's do it. Maybe I'll remember who I'm thinking of.
Exactly.
Solo?
I can't place it, man.
No, I'll think of it. It's when he goes up. It's like
when he goes up. Yeah, exactly.
I can hear the song even. I just can't pull who it is.
Yeah.
Does the song have a guitar solo?
Oh, for sure.
We're halfway through.
I think it's going to happen in the next 30 seconds.
You think so?
I think so.
All right. We're at 156. Go to 230.
something.
It's a build. You gotta build to the solo. There it is. God, I wish I could place that, because now it's going to bug me the rest of the show.
Yeah, yeah.
Not being able to place what that sounds like.
Just don't worry about it.
Yeah, I know.
It's when you stop thinking about it that it will come
to you. That's exactly what it is.
Yeah, it was pretty good,
actually. Yeah. Yeah, I thought that was good. It wasn't, there was nothing that was bothering me.
So these are submissions that you guys get, like, specifically for the podcast?
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
So yeah, either from the bands themselves directly or from their PR people or the labels.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome.
But we always favor when the bands send us stuff directly. Always. All right, so next.
No, I like that. That was good.
Next, and feel free to holler if you've heard of the band that we're about to listen to.
Okay, yeah.
It does happen occasionally.
Yeah.
That was sort of what got us started doing this whole thing, is just like, there's so much music. How do we listen to all of it? How do I not know who these bands are? And so occasionally we run across something that somebody's
heard.
Didn't
we already listen to Bez Verulussen?
We did.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. So I was gonna skip that one, actually.
Oh, okay.
That was my mistake. No, next is, I'm very excited about this. This has everything that I love. So this band is called Turn Cold. And this
haven't heard it yet.
Everything that you love.
No, I mean,
this looks like it might be like a nice drone project.
No.
Yeah. 100%.
No. This is like, I love my skateboard. I love Metallica. I'm going to make a fucking record. So the band is called Turn Cold, and this is the 2022 EP.
Ooh.
Song is
called Georgia. Okay.
Let me guess. The song is 2 minutes and 20 seconds long.
The song is No, it's thrash.
Like,
it's got to be thrash.
Yeah. Okay. Or like a hardcore punk type thing.
It could be. Yeah.
Totally. Yeah, see, but 4 minutes says thrash.
Well, so here's what, if you look at the page, so the cover, the album cover says thrash, but then you look at just like that bold font at the top.
That says
hardcore.
Yeah, it does.
Like, yeah.
Yeah. All right. Let's look at the first album cover.
All right.
Yeah, it says crossover thrash, right?
Yeah, does it say crossover thrash?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
That's what I figured, I think, you know. Yeah.
All right, here we go. The End of My Rope, Turn Cold.
Yes.
That's not even what they submitted.
That's not what they submitted? What were we listening to?
I went to the other album and then didn't go back. Sorry, guys.
Well, I'm in.
That means,
I love it.
That means you get a double listen.
But let's listen to what they actually submitted. So that was the first album.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm ready to go on get on my skateboard.
I am so ready.
did you grow up skateboarding? Is that a thing in India?
No, not really. No. I mean, I bought one straight away, though, as soon as I moved here. I'm like,
yeah, nice.
I don't have it now, but yeah, you know.
Yeah, not an easy thing to learn once you're a grown up.
Yeah.
Like, requires the reflexes, the flexibility, and the resilience of a child.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't get when you watch these skate videos and you see them slam like 30 times in a row trying to nail a trick. Who does that? I wasn't built to ride a skateboard because I just didn't like slam two, and I'm like, all right, I'm gonna go yeah. do something else.
I must be like a, I don't know. I think there's something wrong with me because I actually follow an Instagram account that is just nothing but wipeouts and bails on skateboards, and almost every single one of them has a warning before you can watch it.
it's amazing though how many musicians still do that whole thing, and like their music is based around it. You know, it's like a whole culture in itself. You know,
it is
completely man. Skate thrash.
We grew up. I mean, I grew up in the middle of it, like in the Bay Area here. This was skate and thrash central in the 80s.
Yeah, there was something about that. Like, where did it come from? Well, was it Suicidal? Did Suicidal do that?
No, not here.
Well, I don't. Because it feels like skateboarding was all punk. It was all punk bands, punk. And then Suicidal was a punk band that went to thrash and sort of adopted. I don't know.
Maybe globally, but
maybe not
here.
I don't know, but yeah,
nobody listened to
this. There was definitely at some point in time where skateboarding was.
Yeah, like, I
thrash.
Exodus, in fact, sold skate decks on this tour that we just did. So yeah, there you go. Yeah.
Wow, I had a Metallica Zorlac deck growing up. You know that Metallica with the Pusshead drawing.
Oh yeah,
that was my favorite.
Well, and Pusshead did other like non-Metallica skateboard.
Yeah,
I forget who he drew for, but I mean, like Pusshead was one of the artists you were looking out for.
Oh, 100%.
And then the guy who did the Santa Cruz,
the
Rob Roskopf,
The Santa Cruz had great artists.
They did.
Yeah. Should we listen to what they actually submitted?
Yes. Okay. So this is The Leash by Turn Cold. And when you read the tags, metal, crossover, hardcore.
Well, we nailed that.
Hardcore logo, but then also a metal. I love that they have both. They're like, here's our thrash personality, and now we're going to be hardcore up here. All right, The Leash. Oh, come on now.
These guys.
this band existed in San Jose in 1987. They're my favorite band.
Yeah.
They definitely practice at the rehearsal studio in Atlanta that the guys from Mastodon run.
You think so?
Yeah.
You think so?
I think
probably. Yeah.
And you think about that. Like, if you have the money and influence and ability to do something like that, you could like create a scene in a city just by making like an affordable rehearsal studio space.
Easy. Yeah. Is this sort of like this crossover sort of thrash punk thing your jam, Andrew?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's pretty easy for me to like to get into it like instantly, you know. I already followed them on the Bandcamp, like.
Well, it's so recognizable. It's like they start that clean intro, and my immediate thought is, oh, we need more clean intros like that. Think back to. You know, we were watching, I watched last night, the 2 Minutes to Late Night CD review of Injustice for All. And there's so many great, moody, clean intros on that record.
Yeah.
Where it like sets a creepy mood, but it's not hard yet. It's not heavy yet, but it's like,
exactly.
it's like evocative of something creepy.
I gotta say, I loved that review. It was like everything he was saying, I was just nodding my head. And then he gets to the end and he's like, even though I said all these things, it's still my second favorite Metallica album. And like 100% true. Like,
yeah.
I fucking love that album, even though there's so many things wrong with it.
Yeah. Well, I didn't really thought about, I mean, I had thought about like what was, what did they really lose when they lost Cliff? Because they didn't just lose a bass player. I mean, Cliff was a classically trained musician, and he, I think, was the key to the structure of so many of those like epic songs that they wrote, and they were lost without him. I don't know how much influence the riffs that Mustaine wrote had once you get past Kill 'Em All. I mean, is it still true for Ride the Lightning and Master of Puppets that like Dave Mustaine's in the background somewhere? Or was it really just Kill? I don't know. I don't know enough about the history of the writing of those records. But no, Cliff wasn't just the bass player. He was like the I don't know, the creative soul, I think. And they were lost.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that's why it sounded like it did, I guess, you know, Justice. So
yeah. Even so, there are fucking amazing songs. Dire's Eve.
Yeah, of course.
I mean, just. Like there's at least one song on there that they hadn't played live ever until they like tried to bust it out a couple years ago.
Oh really?
Yeah, I forget which one, but yeah.
I'm thinking it was probably like the instrumental. Like,
yeah, I think that's what it was.
Yeah, To Live Is to Die.
To Live Is to Die. Live is,
oh, yeah. Such a good song.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like a flawed masterpiece, I guess, you know.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. And there flawed are masterpieces.
There are two versions on YouTube where somebody added in like actual bass to it, and I listened to those. I listened to those a lot. I had just started playing bass when that record came out,
and I saw them like live, and yeah, those sound better live for sure. You know.
Yeah. Such they have made such bizarre choices, production choices over the, like, it's got to be Lars like has some brilliant idea, and he's so he's good at talking. I think he's good at convincing them like something that's not a good idea is a good idea.
A good idea.
That has to be why there's no bass.
I reviewed is it the latest album at this point? What is it? Hardwired.
Oh, heart. Yeah,
which is 6 years old now. By the way, I reviewed that, and I basically my summation of that was, or summary was that if this was like a blind submission, no pun intended, it would have been thrown into the garbage. But it's Metallica, so everybody's like, "Oh, this is amazing." It's like, no, you can't. If you look at it in isolation, it's complete garbage. You know. Especially with the production, you know.
I hate to be the like typical old guy who's like, I don't listen to anything after Injustice for All, but I really don't.
I don't.
Yeah. I attempted. I bought Saint Anger. Whew, that was a mistake.
I think I did too, because everybody was talking, oh, they've returned to their roots. They've returned to their roots. And I was
actually, that's funny. That reminds me, because that's when I was getting into metal, was when that album came out, you know, and my classmates were like, oh, be careful. I mean, this might be too heavy for you. I'm like, okay, I guess so. You know, like,
no, it's not too heavy for anyone, but that snare needs to die 1,000 deaths.
It is so crazy, though, because I'm looking at their Wikipedia now of their discography, and it's like, it shows the peak chart positions for, you know, all these different countries, and it's like...
Black Album.
Like, yeah, Black Album, all of a sudden, it's like one everywhere but two countries, and then every album they've released since then has all been number ones, like, in every country. That's crazy, man.
Wow.
That Black Album really did it for them.
Yeah.
It was Enter Sandman.
Well, that's what they figured out, that they didn't know how to write old Metallica songs, but they did know how to write, like, pop rock songs. As soon as they covered Whiskey in the Jar, you go, okay, I see what you're laying. And Bob Seger... Like, I see what your actual lane is, especially without Cliff there to like go, no, we need to make this longer and weirder and like go, like, you know, go to strange places. They were just like, we're just going to write 3.5 minute long pop rock songs.
And no album has even touched the sales that the Black Album has.
What is it? Let's hear it.
17,300,000 just in the U.S.
That's a lot of records, man.
17 million records.
Now imagine if they were King Gizzard. And they actually kept all of that because they released everything themselves.
Yeah.
Well, now they do release everything themselves, but you know.
Yeah, Metallica does.
Yeah.
But No, some folks at whatever label they were at the time got nice and fat on that record.
Hardwired Worldwide was 2 million.
Wow. So 17 million in the US for the Black Album.
Yeah.
Blind Submissions alum Jamie from Broom did the cover layout for Hardwired.
Ooh. Nice. Do you have more music to listen to?
We do. Yes.
Sorry, that was a weird segue.
What you just said
Speaking of Jamie from Broom, do we have any more music? Yeah.
What you just said was dumb. Can we listen to music, please?
No, it wasn't dumb.
All right. What do we got next? This one, it looks fascinating to me. This was submitted by the man himself, Mike Dubose.
Ooh.
Who records music under the name The Mike Dubose.
Oh, okay.
And this is the Mike Dubose's latest release, Happy Go Lucky.
Oh.
So it's not just heavy. We get all kinds of stuff here.
Well, I know the songs are about. It says there at the top.
Yeah, I know. So it's called Happy Go Lucky, but it says...
Songs about alcohol and depression. Okay. He's from Bowling Green, Ohio.
All right.
I didn't know there was a Bowling Green in Ohio. Well, now I do, I guess.
That's Kentucky, right? Bowling Green? That's
Indiana.
Indiana. Maybe there's a Bowling Green everywhere. We just don't know about it.
Yeah, really.
It's like, no, Springfield in The Simpsons was based on my Springfield. Like, there's a Springfield in like
every state
in the country.
So right. This album is not out yet.
Not out yet. Pre-order. This song is called Three Quarters.
All right.
I have no idea what we're about to hear.
I don't know.
Ooh, la, 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 la. Before we wander out of range, but for now there ain't no way to come to.
Somehow that's kind of what I was expecting, actually.
Yeah. I mean, I'm dumb. I just saw him in an acoustic guitar, so I figured it was just like
it was just going to be
one
the,
guy.
Yeah. I figured there'd be a lot of music, like background. Like there was a harmonica in there and maybe even an organ. I don't know. There was a lot of stuff going on in the background.
Yeah, I mean, it's not for me.
It's not something I would really like put on and listen to. But he's got four albums.
The War on Christmas.
This actually kind of feels like one of those once again 90s. Like people just kind of getting experimental and just throwing a bunch of sounds in there. There's influences, all sorts of different influences.
What's your listening outside of metal? Do you listen to indie rock, doo-wop, rap, R&B?
In terms of like what I willingly listen to, I would say like more like synth stuff, you know, like synthwave, like electronic type stuff, because there's a lot of like cool projects out these days that are like, they're blending a little bit of heavy metal, hard rock into like all that stuff. Like there's actually an artist signed to Metal Blade Records called a Master Boot Record. Like that guy, he's from Italy and he's put out like 16 albums in the last like 5 years or something. It's
damn
crazy. He just put out one like I think last month. So yeah, stuff like that. I mean, I listen to a lot, and there's other projects like that called, there's one called Carpenter Brute. That's really good.
Oh yeah. They're great.
Carpenter Brute will be at Psycho this year.
Oh, awesome. Yeah. So, I mean, somehow that all has kind of blended into like the heavy music side of things, which I think it makes sense, even though it's not directly like metal per se, you know, or even rock.
There's to me, it's that Like, I've always, because I've always really liked electronic music,
yeah,
and industrial. And I think, to me, industrial is like the metal of electronic music.
Yeah.
So I can see now that it's starting to cross over more, you know, with bands like Code Orange and stuff like that. Well, I fucking love it.
Pinkish Black and Author and Punisher. Yep. I mean, there's a lot of experimental stuff. I mean, Author and Punisher was on tour with Tool.
Yeah.
There's definitely a lot of, and there always has been. I mean, if you just think about the instrument itself, one of the great things you can do with the synthesizer is make distortion really easily. I mean, that's just one of the hallmark traits of synth is the ability to get all kinds of weird modulation and distortion. Half of my pedal board is just dedicated to making my bass sound like a synthesizer.
Yeah, I like Carpenter Brute, especially. Like, I think the latest album, at least, has that industrial element for sure in some of the tunes. And Master Boot Record, like, that's like it's probably been my favorite like artist in the last few years, because he blends like chiptune music and like it's very classical music based, but also like very early Metallica inspired. You know, it's pretty fucking amazing. Stuff like that I definitely listen to a lot. And then I use YouTube Music for my personal listening, so I get thrown some recommendations that are usually good too, you know, along those lines. So there's an artist called The Midnight, which is also really good. And there's I think one artist that the Carpenter Brute collaborated with on the new album called Gunship, that's also really good. I mean, that's kind of the stuff outside of, like, so to speak, heavy metal that I love a lot. And that's what's getting me back into like thinking about playing the keys again, you know. So
And I love when they cross over and work with each other. And then Tristan from Author and Punisher added guitar to his live shows now. So now there's somebody playing guitars at Author and Punisher shows, which I love.
Oh, I didn't know that. I hadn't seen him in a while, but I interviewed him like many years ago, like back when he was not like anywhere near as big as he is now, you know. But back then he was doing like a small headline tour and that type of stuff. So
I like it a lot too. I like when it's like nasty and organic sounding. I don't like really clean, pretty electronic music. I like to have a little bit of grit, so clearly the industrial side is much more likely to be. But what I haven't seen is, like, industrial is a lot of straight beats, so it appeals to people, I think, who like punk and hardcore.
Yeah.
But where's the, like, groove-heavy, heavy synth music? That's a thing that I'm curious about, if it exists. So if anybody listening, if you know of any bands, if you get what I'm saying, like imagine if Pantera was a synth based band. Who does that?
I think probably the closest would be, like, I don't know if you heard of Dance with the Dead.
No.
Yeah, they're it's like basically like a dance rock kind of thing, but I think they have that groove that you're talking about, so you should check them out if you haven't.
But still, and
their new album is really good too. Because they play some of the same venues that a lot of the metal bands do, you know, like same size. So but I think the other thing about that type of music that I feel has a connection to heavy metal or hard rock is that it has like a darkness to it. And I think it also, at least some of the stuff that I like more, it has that horror like sort of vibe to it. You know, I think that really translates super well to like the heavy metal audiences, you know, because those worlds connect easily. You know?
Yeah.
Zombie is another one that comes up a lot.
Yeah. And Zombie.
Darren from Pinkish Black is good friends with those guys, I know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Zombie with an eye.
Zombie with an eye.
Yeah.
Who did they just announce a tour with?
They did. I was just trying to look that up.
Yeah.
It was a big metal band.
Yeah.
But it was. Admittedly, I haven't really seen a lot of these bands live, so I don't know what that would be like, really. I mean, Author and Punisher I've seen as a solo, but mostly it's definitely a good headphone experience to listen to this type of music, you know. I don't know how it would be live. Yeah. So.
Dance with the Dead is also playing Psycho.
Are they?
Yeah.
Oh.
That is an amazing project, man. I mean, I'm telling you guys for sure.
Are you going? Are you going to Psycho?
I am. Am I going?
Are
I don't
you?
Know.
Yeah.
Um, I like I can't really make plans that far ahead these days, especially with like yes. somebody might call That's me up true. For a tour that if it's worth going out on, I might do that, you know. I mean, yeah. as of right now, my next tour is in September, so I'm supposed to be home for 3 months, but again, you know, like who knows. But as we get closer, maybe my plans will get more solidified and I could or could. I've never been to Psycho, like, which you, might sound weird, but I haven't.
You have to go wow. once. So, yeah. So if you can go this year, find a way.
Yeah.
I'm so looking forward to this year.
You talked a little bit about relaunching the blog.
Yeah, I was actually just going to segue into that because you mentioned Psycho. And like last Wednesday, I went to a show in LA, which I haven't really done that kind of thing at all because I've been so busy with the label. And of course, I've been out of town, but I went to see the Symphony X show out here in downtown LA. Oh, and yeah. that was amazing. So I think I'm going to do a write up of that. So, like I was saying earlier, like Metal Assault was a very prolific blog, you know, like back in those early years. Literally, I went to like over 300 shows a year, like for quite a few years there, you know. So, I've definitely like collected a lot of like new followers from each of those reviews, and I think that's been missing. I miss doing it because like I think at heart I'm a writer, like I'm a reviewer, you know, and I love doing interviews with bands too. So yeah, I think I'm gonna get back into that, and I still get emails from all the PR people, like all the press releases and everything. So all I have to do is like reply finally and say like, oh, I'm actually gonna cover this.
Yeah.
Because the blog, I mean, actually I was just on the phone with my hosting company yesterday, like to sort out the website stuff, because I had it set on redirect like for a while, but now I'm like reactivating it again. So, you know, I was trying to make sure it's all clean and good to go before I start to send people back there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Well, hey,
make sure it doesn't crash.
Yeah.
JJ told me who to reach out to if you want press credentials for Psycho. So,
oh, cool. Yeah. I'll hit you up about that.
There's always that.
Yeah. I think getting in is not the problem. And Vegas for me is not far, but yeah, it's just still a lot of logistics involved there, you know, so.
I have a record on the bed over there too. Yeah. It's definitely a thing to experience at least once in your life if you're into the same shit we are, which you clearly are. And yeah. I mean, this lineup, 125 bands, 6 stages at a brand new resort complex. It's going to be wild.
See how many actually still make it, but
it's going to be wild.
Personally though, like let me say this, like nothing against Psycho or anybody in particular, but for me, like personally, I prefer the single concert as opposed to a festival.
Yeah,
because it's just like I can see every band because I'm the kind of person I want to see every band. Like I don't want to miss anybody, you know. Like on a show like Psycho, like I'm sure I already know a lot. Almost all the bands, so I want to see all of them, and I can't because it's not possible.
Yeah.
that's the only issue I have.
As soon as they release the daily lineups, we've already got a spreadsheet running, so we can figure out who we're gonna go see.
I mean, I love my spreadsheets.
Where are we gonna split up?
Yeah. I generally don't have to make a spreadsheet to see a concert, but you know, and on this one, I'll have to, I guess.
Yeah, we'll just share ours. Just make a column for you.
Yeah.
So shifting gears, so you just spent time on the road slinging merch. Do you buy a lot of band merch, or do you get a lot? And sometimes you get stuff for free. Do you collect records?
Well, in terms of merch, like as a merch slinger, like I just automatically get access to all the merch that I'm selling. So I definitely try to pick up like one of each item that I like. And also like, on a tour of the level that I just did, like with Exodus, for example, mm-hmm. it's like, I feel that wearing one of the items that we are selling, it helps because people see what it looks like on somebody who's wearing it. Like
a human mannequin.
Yeah, I noticed that. Yeah, exactly. I mean, sales were definitely like better on any given night for that, whatever I was wearing, you know? So I try to wear accordingly to try to push something more that we had more of to sell, you know? So that's like a little, you know, secret tip for merchandisers out there. But in terms of like personally collecting merch, yeah, I come back with a big haul, like at the end of any tour.
Did you get one of the skateboard decks?
No, they were gone. Like, plus, I didn't know if I really wanted one, where I would keep it, or what I would do with it. I tend to take items that I actually would use, you know. I don't not necessarily collectibles. Even though, like, let me show you the coolest merch item that I personally have ever sold. And people were just like straight up, like they would either laugh or they would see it and go like crazy because it's so cool. This is the Bald
Ooh,
Bailoff
I was gonna
action
say,
figure.
I just saw a Super 7 box.
Oh,
That is amazing.
That's not my thing at all. This is the only action figure probably I will ever have, unless I end up selling more on future tours, you know. But I had to take one of these, you know? But
Of course.
Is generally, like, yeah, go ahead.
Is that the same one that we have, the Cliff Burton that you got
That's
me?
The same company, yeah.
Yeah, we have, I have the
Super
Cliff, JD
7,
bought
yeah.
me the Cliff Burton.
Yeah. I know a lot more about action figures now than I ever did before this story. And I'm like, because it's not my world at all. But
I
yeah,
know,
people
it's
are
like a
so.
Weird little underground world of action figure collecting.
Yeah, oh, my brother-in-law, Pete, is the ultimate action figure collector.
This
Has
is
an
true.
Entire room in his house filled floor to ceiling with action figures.
Wow. Yeah. So that's definitely like a unique item that, like, that I sold and that, you know, I've like never seen before, really. But yeah, to get back to what you were saying, what were you asking me? Records. I mean, these days, I think the only records I have are like from my own label. You know, like, just I keep one copy for myself to make sure I save one before they sell out, or in case they sell out. But yeah, I mean, I have a couple others that I don't have access to at this moment. Like, I can't pull them out, but they're, because, you know, they're somewhere in in my storage. But I have like a signed Armored Saint record. That's one of my favorite bands. So
Armored Saint, that's amazing.
yeah, like the March of the Saint, like with the, you know, where they're all in the armor and all that. So
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Wow.
I interviewed
I
Joey
was,
Vera like
yeah.
about 11 years ago, and he signed it for me and all that. So
Yeah.
what that I kept, but most of them I saw, ended up selling, because those years I was also like struggling quite a lot, like financially, with trying to keep the Metal Assault thing going, and I was moving around a lot, so it became a burden to have a lot of records, you know.
Oh yeah,
So I ended up
completely.
selling most of them. I still have some back home in India, because when I moved back, I took everything with me. And I left some behind because, like, I had like a Megadeth B-Cells box set. You know, they released a 25th anniversary edition of
Oh
that,
yeah.
which it's signed by Dave Ellefson and Mustaine. So that is still back in India. Then I have like Pink Floyd, Wish You Were Here, like a 180 gram two disc edition or something like that, which is still back there. But those are too heavy for me to carry again, you know, back to LA. So I
Yeah,
left them
seriously.
behind. So some of the big, like the more kind of precious ones, are still back over there. Hopefully still there, you know.
I would
Yeah.
think, like the first thing that pops into my head is vinyl in India doesn't seem like, because it's so hot over there.
Yeah, it's a cumbersome activity for sure. You know, although funny enough, like, when I moved back there, I took everything. So I took my record player, but in transit, it like something broke, right? But then I took it to this local repair shop. They repaired it for like 10 rupees. I'm like, okay, cool. You know, I was like totally like, ah, what am I gonna do? There's no way I'll find a new player here. But they just repaired it, so that probably wouldn't happen here. But yeah, otherwise though, like I don't know if anybody collects records there, you know. Even the Indian bands that are on my label, like, we haven't really done vinyl yet for those releases, because, you know, we don't know if they would sell for them over there, you know. So yeah.
Yeah, completely. And I'm sure. Well, I was going to say in shipping, but you would be shipped from here, so yeah, that's right.
So what'd you get in the mail this week?
What did I get in the mail?
Yeah.
Oh man. Okay, so this is we were talking about this last yesterday. I got this The Angelus, Why We Never Die, this album. So this is one of those, this was put out by Desert Records. I think we reviewed this album like last summer, and I loved it, and I bought it. And completely forgot that I had even, and it showed up yesterday. And I was, I went back through my email and I was like,
who's the Angels?
Oh my God. No, I mean, I remember who they are. I remember really liking them. But then I was like, this is not something I bought recently. So I looked back and I bought this in September and it just got here. Which I'm not complaining. I we've talked about this before. I really like sort of like these fun, they're like Christmas presents and they just pop up. All of a sudden I get an album that I forgot I ordered. And
yeah, it's the joys of vinyl delays, huh?
So, I mean, this is, I'm excited. It's 60 of 110. You know, it's the Angelus. I can't wait to listen to it.
They were good.
They were really good. And then sort of going with my 90s theme.
Okay.
I picked up this reissue of Sonic Temple.
Oh, come on.
So it's great. You know, they did it up nice. It's got the full, I think it's just a black album, but it's got a bunch of different like mixes and stuff on it as well. So like it's
alternate
two albums, you know, but yeah, alternate mixes and covers and live. And oh my God, I wore the hell out of this tape.
Yep.
This was one of my absolute favorites when I was, you know, much younger.
Goth AC/DC.
Yeah, goth AC/DC, exactly. I loved the Cult. Only got to see them live once, but it was cool because it was one of those like private shows during Sundance. They played like some club during Sundance Festival, and I luckily got in and got to see them, and it was amazing.
Sweet. All right, what do I have here? I have the Dillinger Escape Plan and Mike Patton.
Woo-woo.
Irony is a Dead Scene. Great record. Did not have it on vinyl. Now I do The End.
The End.
The End.
That's it. Done.
Pretty, like, kind of a, you know.
Nice.
Little orangey, splooshy thing. Matching, of course, the cover. So, that's it.
Dillinger Escape Plan and Mike Patton
they go together.
They just go together.
Yeah, peas and carrots.
Exactly.
Peanut butter and jelly.
Did I ever tell you about the time I saw Melvins and Bungle in a club in L.A.?
It wasn't L.A. It was Orange County.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. It's a story that I've told like 70 times.
What? No, you haven't. No.
It's been a while though. Maybe it's time to tell it again. No.
Well, I do last have time to say I saw, this. Yeah. No, go ahead. Sorry.
Well, I was just going to say last time I saw the Melvins, they opened for Sleep. And after seeing the Melvins, I was like, do I really need to stay anymore for this show? I mean, plus Sleep took forever to set up also. This is the Fonda Theater in Hollywood. I mean, yeah, Sleep or still Sleep, but you know, Melvins are amazing for sure.
Yeah, it's very different energy too. Like, I think it would be hard to follow the Melvins generally, and to follow them with Sleep is like kind of weird because after the Melvins, you're kind of like, like you want to go like just push a stranger, or you
know, like mixing the wrong drugs together or something.
Yeah, kind of. It's like speed and then a whole bunch of weed.
Yeah,
like yeah.
Oh, that's so funny.
It's always fun to see Sleep, though.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Happy birthday, Matt.
Oh, man. I got to say, when you mentioned Armored Saint, I immediately, I just had flashbacks. Because one of my all-time favorite videos when I was, like, a little rocker kid was an Armored Saint video on MTV when MTV showed videos. And they were, like, they were out in the middle of the desert somewhere wearing all of their armored gear. And there was like this Mad Max style car that like pulls up and they all jump in and go off to battle. I can't remember what song it was.
Can You Deliver?
Is it?
Can You Deliver? I mean, that was the first video that they had. So gotta be that one.
Oh,
man. Yeah.
It is like, you mentioned that and the whole thing came rushing back and I'm like, holy shit. I used to love that video.
Yeah. No, they're one of my favorite bands. Plus they're a little unique because like, you know, they kind of like, the reason that they didn't make it as big back then was because like they neither fit into the thrash side nor the glam side. But to me, they really represent like the true like LA classic metal sound, you know, which I associate with them, you know, how they are or what they sound like. So,
oh man,
yeah, you know. So
you mean this?
Do we get to see it? Are we going to get blocked for this?
Nah, Metal Blade will let it play. They'll just collect royalties.
Yes! Yes!
Ha 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 ha! flashbacks.
So good. Yes.
Lightning, swords, armor.
It takes all of them, right?
Bro.
He looks so confused.
We're a minute and a half in when the song starts.
Oh, I love it.
Oh, man. Incredible.
I had, you know, my VHS tape that I recorded all of my videos on, and I would go back and rewatch that video so many times.
The funny thing about that was, like, the intro part that you heard, that is not an intro to that song. That's an intro to the record, which comes right before the March of the Saints, the title song from the
Oh, really?
Yeah.
They just tacked it on because why not?
Yeah, it sounds perfect for the film, you know? Yeah.
That's so funny.
That's amazing.
So what city in New Jersey are those guys actually from? Because those are definitely not L.A. natives. Where they, like, flashed each of their faces as they grabbed the sword.
No, they're all
like...
they're from East L.A., man. They're like,
oh, are they really?
They're true L.A. folks, man.
No shit. Fucking rad.
It's very rare to find that type of thing because, yeah, a lot of the bands that even came to L.A. or, like, say they're from L.A. or
got
were transplants.
And...
They were transplants, you know, so but not these guys.
Damn. Yeah, I assume, like, that was
so great.
Straight up Long Island or New Jersey.
Seems like it. Joey Caputo.
Yeah, like our good friend Joey Caputo.
Do we have more music?
I don't know how you follow up the Armored Saint video, if I'm being totally honest. Did we listen to this band, Breaths?
No.
Okay, so that's, we'll
they
do
were
it.
Actually one that we had to skip once before.
Okay.
It was on a list earlier.
That's a theme then. Bands we skipped before.
Bands we didn't have time to get to
before.
We ran
out of time for. Are you good for time to listen to a couple more songs?
Yeah, a couple more is good.
Cool.
Sure.
All right, so this is a band called Breaths from Richmond, Virginia. Another Richmond
Virginia.
Band. Fuck. There's a lot of music coming out of Richmond, Virginia
Seriously.
Right now.
It's a one-man band.
Oh, is it really?
Post-metal, black metal, hardcore, shoegaze, progressive. Okay.
Oh, wow.
That covers
all
everything.
Right.
Yeah, it's all
that
of it.
That covers it all, yeah.
And
chill
how are
pop.
They?
It says chill pop. Okay.
Chill
see
pop.
How...
okay.
All right. I'm going to like this.
How are they related to Dumbwaiter is the real question.
I don't know, but they have to be, right?
They have to be.
Yep.
I won't play it again. I won't punish the audience. But when you get right when we're done here, go find a band on Bandcamp called Dumbwaiter and then watch the video for the song. What's it called? It's the last one. It's the first video that pops up on their Bandcamp page. And you will love it. I guarantee it. All right.
Yes.
Here we go. Movement 4. So I guess we're listening to the fourth of four movements. Here we go. Thank you. I feel like maybe this is the second time we've listened to Breaths.
You think so?
Yeah, because this song title right here is like very much, I remember it. Though life has turned out nothing like I imagined, it is far better than I could have dreamt.
Maybe
I
we have.
Swear to God. I like it. I mean, it's like, you know. We're
you got to have a checklist to mark them off. Yeah.
We do have a spreadsheet.
We do have a spreadsheet. Did you not refer to the spreadsheet?
I don't know. I didn't. I didn't refer to the spreadsheet.
No, you know what? I think now that I'm thinking about it, I think they actually got, I think they did a split with somebody and that got submitted. And I don't, I think we listened to the other band and not them.
Dimwind?
Maybe.
Yeah. Oh, there but we anyways, go. Yeah, there's a split there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think, you know what? I have a feeling that anytime something gets submitted and the band and the songs are all movements, you can't just listen to like you can just pick up on movement three and like
I'm curious though, like if I scoot halfway through, like what are we aiming towards?
The same.
Oh, there's something going on. Yeah. I like that organ in the back.
I like all of that.
That synth, whatever
that is. That's good to have on in the background when I'm doing any number of things.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Ooh, yeah. Is that the new Dumbwaiter record?
Yeah.
I have not listened to it yet.
I haven't either. They've only released three songs.
Well, we just found our last song.
Oh, yeah? We're going to do some Dumbwaiter? The new Dumbwaiter?
This is a band that submitted, and we absolutely loved it, and then they came on and were guests, and then all of their friends, there's like an artist collective in Richmond, and they all know each other, and all of their friends are submitting music. I assume Breaths is related to that. Anytime I get something from Richmond, I assume it's from that whole crew. These people are bonkers, and I love it. All right, so we got song titles. Eavesdropping on a crisis, descending the same broken ladder, or digging a hole under a bodega. Which one should we listen to?
Eavesdropping.
Okay, eavesdropping on a crisis. Yeah. They need to. Could you imagine a dumbwaiter song with Patton as guest vocals? Oh,
like
shit.
It would just fit perfectly.
Yeah. Wow.
Well, yeah, they should do like a crowdfunder to make that happen, you know?
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, like how those people, they did a crowdfunding campaign to get David Hasselhoff on that Kung Fury.
That's one
of my favorite things ever, by the way. It should really just,
What happened?
Well, there was this movie called Kung Fury. You got to check it out. It's like a cult classic.
And
Kung Fury. I think I saw it.
So they did a crowdfunding campaign to get David Hasselhoff to be in a promo music video for that, for the song True Survivor, which like, that's like one of my favorite jams ever. The song.
That's amazing.
He sang it, you know, he sang on it, and he was in the music video too, you know.
Big in Germany, as Norm MacDonald would say.
Yeah. but yeah, no, I already followed these guys too. And if I may ask, what was the first band that he played today?
Slow Torch.
Okay, yeah, I gotta follow them too.
And that'll all be in the episode description when it publishes.
The Slow Torches, was it?
Or... Slow Just Torch.
Slow Torch.
All one word.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
The machine has failed us.
The machine
has failed. That's what it was. Yeah. No. I mean, Dumbwaiter's just like, wait, what? It's like. In the video, the last album, all the songs are named, they're just a word with none of the vowels. And the last track, Window, has a video associated with it that I highly recommend you watch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll definitely check that out. But yeah, if you know.
You seem like a guy who probably watched that movie, Deathgasm.
Deathgasm?
It's like a horror.
Slasher, like almost like a...
Schlocky horror
what do you
movie.
Call it?
The kid walks around in corpse paint the whole time. Yeah, it's like a low budget Australian.
It's like a coming of age teen.
That actually reminds me though, like Old Blood played a show in Olympia, Washington on the October and November tour, and this place called the Crypta Tropa, which is like a basically like a goth bar, really, you know. And it was closer to Halloween also. And they had these horror movies playing on VHS on a projection screen in the background while the bands were playing in the foreground. And shit was awesome.
That's awesome.
That's crazy.
They were playing the weirdest, like the nastiest movies. Like, you know, where just people are just getting
like Cannibal Apocalypse or those ones that like.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this is the one screenshot from Deathgasm that you need to see in order to compel you to go see the movie or to rent it or watch it. Like.
Oh, I've seen that meme everywhere.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, it is an absolutely bonkers. I think it was like Australian, maybe.
Okay.
It's crazy.
So I'm going to ask a question that I think both of you will understand, and I don't, to be honest.
Okay.
Is because with this their new album, it specifically says that it's colored vinyl cut at 45 RPM. So I don't understand the difference between making a 45 and making a 33. Because they're like identical, just play at different
speeds.
It's
the speed that they're played at, and it's about how much music you cram onto the record.
So is 45 supposed to be like...
You can have more music.
Higher quality?
No, I mean, it's just you got to just select the right speed when you play it on your turntable, on your record player. And with 45, obviously, like since it's spinning faster, I mean, I would imagine you can just fit more music in, you know, on each side of the record.
So it's not a quality thing at all. It's not like a 45 is recorded at a higher quality. It's just the speed and just how many songs you need to fit on it.
That is, I'm not going to definitively answer
because
it is more complicated than that.
Okay.
Yes. But I don't know. I won't answer because I don't know for sure.
Well, cuz I know like in our parents' generation, 45s were the little records and 33s were the big records.
Yeah, at 45 you actually have less music because you're spinning through the grooves faster, so you can't fit as much.
You have less music, not more music.
You can't fit as much on each side, which I think means it's higher quality.
Okay.
Because a typical record, a typical 33, you can fit about 20 minutes of music per side.
Yeah.
But if it's spinning faster, you're not getting 20 minutes on each side.
Right.
You're getting, you know, a quarter less with the difference between 33 and 45 revolutions per
minute. I think more than anything, it's probably just a way to, like, make a full 12-inch record, even if you don't have that much material. It, you know,
yeah, like what's the full length if you add up all the track lengths?
I mean, the full length of it's hard to say because only three
they're not
have been
all
released,
listed.
So
yeah, I mean, it's they probably only have like 30 minutes worth of music.
Gotcha.
I'm guessing. So then your options then are to have music on like just the outside edge of a 12-inch, or if you play it at 45, then you fill the whole thing. It might also mean more quality, and gotcha. it varies depending on the frequencies. Like, if you have a lot of low end, you sacrifice quality if you try to, because you can stretch past 20 minutes, but you end up sacrificing quality a bit. And then especially if there's more low end, I think you have to carve more out of the vinyl, so it ends up sacrificing gotcha. Quality a bit too. But I'm like I've made records, but I'm a total armchair at this side of it. I have very little, like a passing knowledge, but not very much. Sweet. But it is funny when you throw on a 12-inch record. Actually, with the first time I threw on the new OK Computer, that reissue of OK Computer that I have, I think it was on the wrong speed, and I was wondering what the hell was wrong, because I think that's like four discs at 45, and they're a band that would, whatever, however you get the best quality, that's what they're going to do.
There was something that came out recently that I put on, and I put it on as 33. And it was actually a 45.
It was all
and I listened to like half of it. No, it sounded great. I was like, this is good, but it just, it's
sounds so, different.
Sounds off. Yeah. Like,
sometimes also, I think turntables, like if they're old or heavily used, like they could also just play things slower than they're supposed to. So that I've experienced that too. But it wasn't the speed selection. It was just the turntable just being
needed
slow.
Maintenance.
Oh, I had that. Yeah. I had to get one of the apps that, because it's crazy the difference it makes. Like if your turntable is spinning at like 31.5 as opposed to 33, you can totally hear the difference.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
crazy.
That was why I definitely wanted to, when I bought my new turntable, find a direct drive table, because it's a lot easier to manage the speed when you have direct drive versus a belt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because the belt will stretch or change over time, whereas the direct drive doesn't. This has been Turntable Talk.
Turntable Talk.
All right. Good work, Dumbwaiter. Can't wait. JD already ordered copies. Those guys are so cool. They listened to the episode and were so stoked they got our address and just sent records to us.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It was like the first, I think it was the first time any band did that.
I think so.
Yeah. More bands.
Yep.
Feel free.
More bands. Do it. Yeah. Sweet.
All right. So here's an, well, we usually end with a question. This will be an interesting one.
Ooh, yeah.
What do you consider your hometown? Is it LA now?
Yeah. I mean, I've been here for the best part of 15 years, so yeah. I would say so, yeah.
What's your favorite hometown band? And I think I know what the answer is going to be.
Active or not?
Yeah. All time.
Oh, Armored Saint.
Armored Saint?
Yeah.
There you go.
Do you have any from like when you grew up? I mean, were there bands and did you grow up?
I don't know
of
a single band from my actual like hometown. No, I don't know a single one. No, probably you probably don't exist.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
I mean, the metal in India is kind of limited to a few like of the bigger cities like Bangalore, Bombay, and stuff like that. Not so much the small towns, at least as far as I know. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, like, if there was one band that you've been listening to lately that you would tell everybody to go out and listen to right now, who is it?
I would say Master Boot Record.
Master Boot Record? I kind of thought that's what you might say. Yeah. I'm gonna go check it out. First of all, I'm impressed that they got that name and no one else has ever used it.
Yeah.
It's a genius name for an electronic artist.
Yeah, when you get into it, you will be amazed because, you know, of the kind of that, it's like the computer-based themes with the artwork and the album titles and the song titles. It's all this way, very elaborately put together. You know, it's well done. So
now is this because you have a background in computer science? No.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
You appreciate, like, I know what a Master Boot Record is.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
That looks like
floppy
disk
overdrive and all that
sleep
other stuff.
Token logo, sort of.
Oh, it does. Whoa. Oh, yeah. Oh. 8086. That's so stupid. Oh, everything about this is stupid, and I love it.
Yeah, the latest album is called Personal Code. Computer.
Personal nice. Computer.
Yeah.
Huh. All right, we got to check that out.
Killer. Yeah. All right, man. Well, it was really good catching up with you. And
yeah, same here.
God, one of these days we're going to plan a tour again, and we'll be back in L.A. And
yeah.
I have so many people I want to see. We did a festival in October of 2019, Bowling and Beers in Hell, and both Solar Haze and Old Blood came up and played.
Yeah.
That's
that
right.
That was a blast.
That was a blast. That was fun.
That was a good weekend. I look forward to it, and then we finish, and I'm like, oh, God, let's not ever do that again for, like, a week. And then after, it's like having kids, and then that wears off, and you're like, all right, let's do it again.
So are you guys getting back into the whole concert promo thing with the heavy SJ or not really?
Not as much. I think it'll be a lot more limited. Yeah. It was a lot of fun. It's a lot of work. I think to stay connected in music, both of us actually really like doing this, and I think are better at it than we were at promoting. If I'm being totally honest, this is the part of promoting that I liked, which is like getting to know people. The van show, you know, the van shows up at 5 o'clock for, you know, sound check and you chat, you stand out in the parking lot and shoot the shit for a while or have dinner. That's the part that I love. So we figured out a way to do that without running shows. That said, we are about to book our first show, and I'm about to book my first show.
No.
in a while, yeah. Hippie Death Cult is touring through here in the summer, and we're gonna. I'm sure somebody probably reached out to you too, I would imagine. Good old Ian Watts.
I know that Old Blood is playing a show with them in Palmdale, which is a venue. There's a venue there that I've been working with, so you know, they put Old Blood on that show.
Oh, cool!
That is happening for sure. But yeah, you know, it should be fun.
Awesome. It'll be fun. Yeah, we found it. You know, it was the first thing was like, all right, who's still open? Like, which venues even exist anymore? And is there anything new? And there's actually a new brewery right in the heart of San Jose that's throwing shows Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Super, super band friendly.
Yeah.
Offering to do ticketed events or 10% of the bar, which is like 10% of the bar is pretty unusual.
That might be the future. I mean, the brewery in Palmdale is super rad, and the same similar things like what you just said, and it's the same thing with LA. I mean, right now I don't even know of a single venue that exists that I could book at, to be honest.
I have to
figure all that out and see if that's even doable on this level or not, but you know, regardless, you know, there'll be shows happening, but just don't know where.
Is Five Star still around?
No, Five Star's gone.
Damn.
Yeah.
Well, I know one place that will still be open that we've played at twice and never not had a fucking blast, and that's the Silver Dollar Saloon in
El Monte.
El Monte, out by where Mucho lives. So Mucho's got the hookup there, and every time we played there, it's just packed.
Yeah.
Like, people just come out, and whatever's playing, they show up to. It's a blast. And I'm sure I kind of get the feeling that that bar probably ran through the whole pandemic. It was one of those bars where everyone was probably like, we're just going to go to the bar and we'll deal with the consequences.
Keep doing our thing.
That was definitely my sense of the silver dollar.
Yeah.
It sounds like a lot of the venues in like North County, San Diego that were around are still there, like the Poorhouse in Oceanside.
Is there anything, you have anything on the label that's coming out soon or anything you want
to? Yeah, anything to promote?
Shout out?
Plug? The return of the blog?
Yeah, return of the blog is the big thing, I think, in terms of new releases on the label. Actually, it's kind of like right now it's a little bit of a break from new releases. So probably won't have anything coming out until like late summer at this point, and nothing to be announced particularly as of right now in that sense. But yeah, just keep an eye out for new signings and new tour announcements involving the label bands. Yeah,
nice.
That's the next thing. Yeah,
killer.
It's more about like people getting out on tour right now. We already did the new release part with them.
Yeah,
now it's the tour part to support the new release.
Exactly.
Yeah. Cool. All right, man. Well, it was really good catching up with you. I'm glad to see you're still at it and doing it. I'm looking forward to the blog coming back.
Yeah, it's
cool,
great,
man. Yeah.
Well, all right.
Well, thanks.
Yeah. Have a great weekend.
Yeah, you guys too, man. Take care.
All right. Take care.
All right. We're good.
I think you cut him off.
I'm good at that. I do that a lot. Anyone curious to hear this Master Boot record?
I guess we're gonna hear it.
I'm in.
It's just like classic metal song structure and melodies. Hell.
Love that synth in the back. That really low.
It's like a Maiden song.
It's really too bad that the Duffer Brothers didn't find Master Boot Record and put this in Stranger Things.
Seriously.
Season 4. I know there's a scene that was in the trailer of like some at some point in this season, there's going to be a guy in a guitar in the Upside Down with lightning shooting out of it or hitting him.
Oh, I mean, that sounded like a metal soundtrack for some Nintendo song, like game back in the...
Yeah, it's a little bit of chiptunes. It's a little bit of like classic metal.
Oh. That's really cool.
All right.
So, I like that.
So you said you got Dumbwaiter?
I like it. I did get Dumbwaiter.
Okay. Well, I got this one then.
Ooh, sweet.
Lime marbled vinyl. All right, everybody. Well, what do we have to say to wrap up?
To talk about?
Yeah.
I don't know. Should we talk about the state of the news?
No.
I'm just kidding. I don't know.
Please don't.
No? Not the state of the news? State of the news or the state of the world in the news?
State of the world in the news.
State of the world in the news? Let's not talk about that.
Let's talk about...
The world's falling apart.
Let's say once again, we still have not selected the Germ album winners, but
Jesus
we will...
Jesus Christ.
We will get off our
butts. We need to remember to do that.
And do that.
I think there's a lot of people waiting on us.
Tens.
Tens of people.
If not dozens.
If not, yes.
Cool. All right, everybody. Well, I think we're done.
Are we done?
I think we have nothing left to say of any...
We're good to go.
Listen to Master Boot Record. Watch Obi-Wan.
Yep. Watch Obi-Wan. I think that's it. Go buy the new Dumbwaiter.
Buy the new Dumbwaiter record. Buy the new Moontooth record. Fucking put up their Billboard numbers from the first week. And
yeah.
I mean, you know, they weren't in the top... Maybe they were in the top 10, but I mean, they were on like 8 different charts.
Oh, yeah.
Hell yes.
Way to go, Moontooth.
Go, Moontooth. All right,
we
got to
get the rest of them on, too, because now that they're off
they're
tour.
They're off tour. Yeah, so it's time to hit up Vin and Nick. And
we've had John on enough times.
Yeah, yeah. Fuck that
Let's
guy.
Let's get the rest of the guys on.
Fuck that guy. For real.
Yeah. Let's see if everybody else likes wine as much as John does.
I think not. No. I'm guessing John's the wine guy.
John's the wine guy. All right,
everybody, this has been this week's episode of
Blind
Submissions. We're out.
Wow.
Thanks for joining us for another week of Blind Submissions. See episode description for the links to all artists discussed in this episode, and visit their sites to support them directly by buying their music and merch. Share links to the podcast with your friends, especially if they're in bands. Bands. If you want us to listen to your music on a future episode, please submit one song to blindsub@gmail.com. That's blyndsub@gmail.com. Bandcamps linked preferred, but not required. Find us on our social media at Blind Submissions. Full video episodes are available on our YouTube. Remember, we go in blind so you don't have to. Blind Submissions.
Jeff, Blind Submissions with Jeff and JD, Jeff and JD, JD and Jeff, JD and Jeff.